case this morning, Hong versus Holder. Mr. Fang.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Chung Pang, appearing on behalf of petitioner appellant in this case, Ms. Ling Mei Huang, who is actually seated behind me. And Your Honor, this is an appeal against the denial of motion to reopen pursuant to the Violence Against Women Act, whereby the Attorney General may exercise discretion to reopen a case which is time-barred. Both sides considered that this is time-bound. If petitioner or appellant establishes that her deportation to China would establish extreme hardship to her United States citizen children. And we believe that the Attorney General failed to exercise his discretion, failed to properly appraise the facts in the record. And there are pretty massive facts which are presented in the record. For example, the China Human Rights Report, and which is compiled by China Human Rights Defender, CHRD, and also by the State Congressional Executive Commission, which is submitted into the record, which contains massive information by an expert panel that talks about the impact of the one-child policy on Chinese women and girls. And the impact is so severe, one of the expert committee members, Attorney Lita John, reminded the Congressional Commission that this is one of the most tragic, one of the most massive violation of human rights against women and children, and girls in particular, in human history. So we begin by asking whether the court has jurisdiction to review a discretionary decision of the Attorney General. And we believe you do under the Champion and Joseph decisions and also under Iglesias. The BIA in its decision had one sentence on the impact of deportation on the children if they were to be removed to China with her mother. And that sentence says, however, and that's on page 1 of the BIA decision, the respondent has not provided evidence that the children would be deprived of educational opportunities if they accompany their mother to China. Now, that sentence is inaccurate because substantial evidence has been submitted to the record which speaks to the possible deprivation of educational opportunities. I would emphasize here that the Board of Immigration Appeal did not use the term appellant did not present sufficient evidence or conclusive evidence, as it could easily have done. Here, the BIA simply said, no evidence. And no evidence, Your Honor, in the common sense reading of that word means there's zero evidence, none in existence. But that's clearly not the case. And evidence has been submitted, for example, in the China Human Rights Defender Report, AR-316, for example, the education and social services are linked to compliance with the policy, linked to compliance with policy. And the key in understanding this case, I think, is the congressional hearing, which featured some of the leading experts in the United States on this issue, including the statement by Harry Wu, who was the lead speaker. And Harry Wu said in his statement that children without hukous, which are household registration, are treated as persona non grata by the state, and are unable to access most public services, including education, healthcare, and often employment, based on AR 507. So the other aspect of this is our petitioner has no legal marriage in the United States. She has no legal residency, okay, and no birth permit. But when she had these children, in China, only legally married parents are allowed to have children. Okay, so on its face, appellant had not complied with Chinese policy. So the next question would be on this analysis, what would happen to her if she goes back? If she has no legal marriage to prove of, she cannot even apply for household registration for her child, her children. Okay? And that actually is, in terms of how she's treated, that actually was outlined in the BIA decision itself, SYG, which talks about how women overseas returning to China will be treated. And one of the requirements for her particular city, Changle City, Your Honor, is that the petitioner, if she were to be treated, qualify for overseas Chinese exemption, she got her PhD or master degrees, okay? And that the petitioner has to be an LPR of another country for at least 3 years. So petitioner doesn't fall under any of the exception because she has been a legal alien in this country since her appeal to the BIA on her asylum case was denied in 2003.
Mr. Pang, let me ask you about that,
yes,
if I could.
Yes.
Your client was ordered removed in approximately 2004, is that right?
Yes, 2003, I believe.
2003.
Yes.
Failed to leave.
Yes.
And then decided had two children here in the United States.
Right. She married.
And yes. I think the question is, in essence, why does her refusal to leave and decision to have children in this country enhance her legal status or her ability to stay in this country?
Well, if I understand the court, Your Honor, yes, she did not leave as opposed to, you know, to the best of my knowledge, she did not get, at least in the record I studied, she did not get a final bag and baggage order from the BIA.
She was ordered removed.
What
more was needed?
Well, because certain mechanisms are in place after the order.
Are you saying the removal order doesn't have to be obeyed?
No, I'm
okay.
not saying that.
All right. So she refuses to comply with the order,
right,
stays, and has two children here,
right,
and then argues years later, because I've refused to stay and had these children, now you can't send me back. That's a troubling argument.
No, there's another aspect to that is Violence Against Women Act, where she did lawfully marry. Her marriage actually was admitted to be valid and genuine.
Yes.
And she qualified.
But we're talking here, you're basically trying to challenge an exercise of discretion.
Yes.
Not to consider a late VAWA petition, right?
Exercise discretion with regard to the hardship to the children. And because hardship to the children is actually the relevant criterion. And in exercising that hardship, Your Honor, there was no consideration of material submitted into the record. That's why we challenge it. And I think the record has extreme amount of information, especially from the expert panel and the China Human Rights Report. And also, there's also another exception which I think she qualifies under, which is under changed country conditions. And there's a great deal of information on changed country conditions in the record, if I may go into that, Your Honor. You know, this changed country condition issue has been reviewed by this court under the Lin decision in 2008. And in the Lin decision, this court compared the case of Lin, her situation in 2001, when the case was first heard by the immigration judge, and in 2006, and the court there found that there had been increased increased level of enforcement in her home province of Fujian. And the court, this court ordered the reopening on that ground. And I think our case is very strongly similar to Lin in that there has been a strike hard campaign, other severe crackdown announced in China around 2008-2009. And that's actually in the record from the Congressional Committee. And that follows 337 and 579. 579 talks about the strike hard campaign in her home province of Fujian, in a city called Putian, P-U-T-I-A-N. And as an illustration of that point, Your Honor, there was a woman who was caught in that strike hard campaign. And initially, she was pregnant for 8 months, and she negotiated with birth control officials to allow her to let the child live, to allow her to give birth to the child. And she had secured an agreement. However, the strike hard campaign hit Fujian, and she was pulled out and said, the whole thing about paying fine, forget about it. We will abort your child. And the child was aborted.
Your time's expired, counsel. I'll give you a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Yes. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Ms. Platt.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. Meadow Platt on behalf of the Attorney General. The Court should deny the petition for review for two reasons. First, petitioner filed her motion to reopen nearly 7 years late, and she failed to show that her motion fell within the changed circumstances exception to the filing deadline for purposes of asylum. Petitioner's documents showed a continuation of China's population policy rather than a change. Furthermore, the birth of her two children in the United States constitutes a change in personal circumstances, not a change in conditions in China. Second, the court cannot reach petitioner's claim related to her motion to reopen to pursue adjustment of status under the Violence Against Women Act, otherwise known as VAWA. Specifically, the court lacks jurisdiction to review the board's discretionary determination that petitioner failed to show extreme hardship to her children, which would exempt her from the one-year filing deadline. Turning to the first point, the motion to reopen for purposes of asylum, the Immigration and Nationality Act requires that a motion to reopen be filed within 90 days of a final order of removal. Because petitioner in this case filed her motion to reopen over 7 years after the board's order of removal, she was required to show changed country conditions in China in order to prevail on her motion. Here, the board reasonably determined that petitioner failed to show changed country conditions that would constitute an exception to the filing deadline. Specifically, as I mentioned earlier, the birth of her two children constitutes a changed personal circumstance under this court's controlling case law. The court in the 2010 decision, Liang, mentioned that. Liang is a very similar case to this case and is very instructive. As I mentioned, it's a 2010 case, and it dealt with nearly identical factual circumstances. Turning to the second point, the motion to reopen to pursue the VAWA application, the Act restricts this court's jurisdiction over the agency's discretionary determinations. Regarding motions to reopen to apply for VAWA relief, the Act states that such a motion must be filed within 1 year of entry of a final order of removal. The Attorney General, however, may, in the Attorney General's discretion, waive this time limitation in certain circumstances, such as when a petitioner demonstrates that her or his children would suffer extreme hardship. Here, petitioner's motion was untimely, and the board found in its discretion that she did not establish an exception to the time limitation to reopen proceedings for VAWA relief. Because this was a discretionary determination, the court lacks jurisdiction over the board's decision, and it should dismiss the motion to reopen it should dismiss the petition for review as it pertains to the motion to reopen for VAWA relief. The court does retain jurisdiction. I'm still talking about the VAWA application, but the court does retain jurisdiction to consider constitutional claims and questions of law. However, in this case, there are no such claims.
Could you address the theory that a failure to address evidence under our cases amounts to a legal error that can be reviewed?
Yeah, under the Act and case law, of course, it is true. A failure to address evidence is a legal error. However, in this case, there's no evidence that the Board committed a wholesale failure to address evidence. The Board did acknowledge that petitioner's children would suffer some hardship. Simply, it balanced that against other factors in the record, such as the children's exposure to the Chinese language, the existence of the children's grandparents in China, and other factors, and it found that that did not rise to the level of extreme hardship. If the Court has no further questions, the government asks that the Court deny in part and dismiss in part the petition for review. It should deny petitioner's arguments relating to the denial of her motion to reopen to apply for asylum because the agency properly exercised its discretion in finding that she did not show changed circumstances in China. The Court should dismiss, for lack of jurisdiction, the VAWA issue. Thank you.
And then you have 2 minutes.
Your Honor, first of all, I will address the counsel's understanding or statement of the law of this court regarding failure to consider evidence. This court doesn't require that failure be total or complete. Under the Champion decision, Champion said that failure to consider evidence is legal error. And under the Joseph decision, this court also said failure to consider factors material to the exercise of discretion is error. And here we are alleging precisely that, Your Honor, with the failure to consider petitioner's circumstances, whereby he's an unmarried mother and she has no legal status in any country in the world outside of China, would be bound by Chinese law, and then she would be deported under conditions which would trigger Chinese government attention because of a illegal status within the United States. And counsel also mentioned the Liang case, L-I-A-N-G. The Liang case actually is different. It is true that on its face, the Liang case appears similar. However, if one looks closely at the Liang case, there's one critical distinction with the Liang case, Your Honor, is that Liang doesn't have any line of comparison when it alleges changed country conditions. In other words, Liang did not provide information on the status of enforcement in China at the time of the asylum application, whereas the applicant did. The applicant provided information in the record, in the country profile, submitted in fact by the government itself, that China had begun to relax its one-child policy enforcement in Fujian, and they were experimenting with relaxation. And in particular, there was reference that Fujian itself was criticized by the Chinese government for lax enforcement. Thank you very much.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and we move to